This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Oh, Sue, I'm finally feeling like I'm coming out of the jet lag. I was really struggling even earlier today before the show. I had to warn everyone. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to make it very well, but I feel a lot better than I did certainly earlier. This trip really kind of whacked me a little bit with the jet lag. And part of the reason was, like, when I came back on Wednesday, we left Athens at, like, I think it was 12:30. So I'm used to being up during the day. I didn't want to go to sleep on the airplane when it was the afternoon, but then that catches up with you.
It does.
One of the things that was fascinating, though, you know, on this trip, look, I was with some folks who were from Minnesota. Our next guest, David Strom, who is the associate editor of hotair.com, is with us. My friend Mike Kenny, who is with Defined Destinations, is going to join us a little later. We're going to wrap up the Greece trip. But David, I wanted to share some of my stories from afar with the international coverage. How are you this afternoon?
Well, I haven't been in a musical called Grease like you have.
Well, I had a great trip. And what's interesting is I was with some communists from Minnesota. And I bet Mike's listening right now, so I just wanted to make this impression, because the thing that I'm trying to convince my, you know, my lefty friends of, don't take my word for anything, right? But the media coverage is full of you-know-what. It's biased. They're not accurate. Just look at what Yuri Berliner said about NPR, right? Look at what, you know, I would say David Zweig's new book, An Abundance of Caution, highlights a lot of media stuff as well. I've been reading from afar. I've been reading your columns. There's a lot of media nonsense that's still going on right now in this country where there's misrepresentation of reality.
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the themes that I keep on trying to hit is that if you read or watch or listen to the mainstream media, they have a narrative, you know, and that narrative, is driven by an ideological predisposition, and it just gets repeated over and over again. It sort of originates from, you know, what I call the transnational elite, which is why you saw the exact same narrative in Europe, you know, orange man bad, you know, that, what we really need to do is hand power over to this, you know, technocracy that understands how the world should be run better than us. And it just sort of trickles down into everything. And, we saw it during COVID. We see it, you know, in the coverage of Trump. We saw it in the coverage of Joe Biden, you know, Mr. Sharp as a tack. It's just sort of this constant repetition of a series of themes of things that they want you and the rest of everybody to believe.
Well, and I mentioned David Zweig, and you wrote a column that kind of referenced David Zweig in his new book, An Abundance of Caution, because wasn't it someone at NPR even maybe tackled this?
Yep. Oh, absolutely. In fact, what was hilarious about that conversation, because it was actually a fairly long conversation with David Zweig, and he was talking about how if you watched or listened to the mainstream media, you had the most, not the least, but the most misinformed and erroneous notion of what was going on with COVID. And, you know, it, on the one hand, you could say, well, great, NPR finally covers the fact that NPR and everybody else lied to the American people, shaped the narrative. But on the other hand, you know, it's just, you know, oh, well, we didn't do that at NPR. You know, we gave you a much more refined and true view of things. When in fact, all they were doing was, you know, essentially repeating the press releases from Fauci and the CDC.
Yeah. So like in this case, and this is, and David was a guest a couple of weeks ago, but in this interview with NPR, he says that what I'm trying to, you know, explain is that we were living in a very misinformed sort of media bubble in much of the United States. And the host says, okay, so you actually said three really important things here. What we believed to be was happening was not what we were being told. This was specific to certain parts or certain media bubbles in the United States. Those are, she says, so you are saying that outside those particular bubbles, and you can identify them in a minute, people had more accurate sense as to what was going on. He says, yeah, I think that's absolutely right. But what I think she doesn't realize is that NPR was one of those bubbles.
Oh, absolutely. And she implicitly admits that because she said that she wanted to cover Jay Bhattacharya's Great Barrington Declaration, which was signed by tens of thousands of scientists, which basically laid out the fact that we were approaching COVID incorrectly. And there was nothing ideological about it. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the primary authors were from Stanford, Harvard, and Oxford University. And she said, well, I wanted to cover this in a rigorous way and see, you know, the pluses and minuses of what they were saying. And my colleague said, well, you can't do that because you'd be spreading misinformation. And, of course, the misinformation was just a disagreement with what Anthony Fauci was saying. That was their definition of, you know, the truth was whatever was told to them by the government.
Yeah.
And if you, I mean, if you think about how the media presents itself as the people who hold power accountable, and then look at what they do, which is just repeat whatever the powerful say. It's such a disconnect.
Well, and then I know that you kind of highlighted this because I don't know if it was David or the host from NPR, you know, lays out the information about what was going on. And they say something about the information was basically ignored in America. And you rightly said not ignored. It was suppressed. Right. It was suppressed.
Oh, absolutely. And what's striking is as awful as many things in Europe are in terms of the information sphere, you know, if you go back and you take a look, what we saw in the United States was an active suppression, not just of what scientists here in the United States were saying, but you know, the kinds of conclusions that the European medical institutions. And so we're not talking about, you know, wacky conspiracy theorists. We're talking about, you know, what the French, what the British, what the Swedish were saying was the right way to deal with this. I mean, for, you know, it was in 2020, late 2021, when the UK, France, Britain, Germany, Sweden all said, do not give the vaccine to children. In fact, you shouldn't give it to anyone under 60 without, you know, some serious medical condition, because the cost, the dangers are greater than the benefits. And to this day, in the United States, if you question giving the vaccine to a 6-month-old baby, you are called a vaccine
right.
skeptic. And so if you live within that media bubble, you are being lied to. You know, we 10 years from now, they're all going to pretend like it was just a few people who got it wrong. But in fact, it was the mainstream media that collaborated with our government to...
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Who systematically lied to people about what was known.
David, you know this. It's outrageous what happened. And if I would have one hope for any of my friends, you know, I mentioned this yesterday. My sister, God bless her, she's awesome. She stayed at my house with my daughter for a few days of the trip. We had help from one of my wife's aunts as well. But she sends me a text one morning. She goes, I think your TV's going to blow up. I have MSNBC on. And look, I'm not going to start trouble with my sister when she's helping me out. But I wanted to say, you have no idea. And what I want to do, and I don't know how this would be received, I want to buy her David Zweig's book and say, just read this. Don't take my word for it. Look what David Zweig, who's no conservative, is saying about what the media did in this country. It is one of the biggest scandals that's ever occurred.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was and I don't want to get all conspiracy theory here, but essentially what happened was, you know, Pfizer, shovels a lot of money to the CDC. The CDC tells everyone to take Pfizer's vaccine, and anybody who questions that is slander.
Well, here, let me give you a real life example. And I've told this story before. So in the beginning of that summer, that would have been the summer of 21, the vaccine starts to roll out right around the end of May, June, I think, right? And some of us, I remember saying something really stupid. I'm embarrassed to this day. I said, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, because we were convinced, we were told that the vaccine was going to prevent you from even giving COVID to someone else, right? So none of that turned out to be accurate. I'm actually doing live commercials, live spots for the vaccine, because I thought that was the right thing to do at the time. Man, was I wrong. So, but what was interesting is I realized in the middle of the messaging, this was toward the end of July, that what I was being told to say was not true. So I go back and I try to work with the people who were representing, and this was coming through the state of Missouri, you know, and through the federal government. I said, guys, I can't keep saying this. This is a lie. I'm telling people things that are not true. Well, they got all bent out of shape like I was doing something wrong. And I was shocked by that, because the messaging was inaccurate. It was horribly wrong. And there was no attempt to change it, except for someone like me that raised his hand and said, wait a second, guys, this is not something that should be happening.
Well, I'll give you an example from my home state. A few months ago, the person who ran our Health and Human Services COVID response was pushing vaccines and telling everyone you've got to do this and it's perfectly safe. She did an interview and she had a vaccine injury and reported it to the CDC back in 2021. Never told anyone about it. And it took 2.5 years for the CDC to get back to the person who was in charge of Minnesota's response to COVID to figure out what happened specifically to her. And so, you know, and she's talking about this like very casually. She says, well, I got a blood clot and it was life threatening. And I wanted to make sure the people at the top knew that this happened to me. So we're not talking about a skeptic. We're not talking about anyone who was in any way, shape or form pushing against the federal government's response. We're talking about one of the most liberal pro-vaccine people. And even she was blown off. and she never told anybody until it was in the rearview mirror. Yeah. That's how much we were lied to.
Yep, I agree with that for sure. David Strom from hotair.com. Okay, so here's something that is separate maybe but related. And I've been trying to follow this story from afar, and I was very confused because I think a lot of us on our side of politics were somewhat critical, certainly at the beginning of John Fetterman from Pennsylvania. We didn't really get what he was all about. He was recovering from the stroke. It didn't seem like he was in good shape at the time. But then he started leaning a little bit on some issues in our direction. I would say on the common sense issues, right? So then The New Yorker does this story that I think is basically a hit piece on John Fetterman. And what Tom Bevin at Real Clear Politics said, I think, is very, very interesting. And you highlighted this in one of your columns. The Associated Press goes out there. They do a headline that says, Senator John Fetterman raises alarms with outbursts at meeting with union officials, AP sources say. Tom justifiably and correctly says the Associated Press went all of Biden's presidency without even printing a headline that said his behavior behind the scenes raised alarms. They never even brought up that one time. But of course, New Yorker does a hit piece on Fetterman and they're all going to roll with it, right?
Oh, well, and what's hilarious about this is that if you go back and you take a look at how Amy Klobuchar, who is one of the most highlighted people among the left, her behavior behind the scenes, as the New York Times told it during when she was running for president, is far worse than far worse than anything said about John Fetterman today. And all of that information came from a radical pro-Hamas person who worked for him, which just highlights again that there's a narrative. They have decided that they want to get rid of John Fetterman. And so you've had six full days of stories talking about Fetterman, who is clearly, in far better shape than he was when he ran for office. I mean, he could barely speak in 2022, and we were told he was perfectly fine. Now that he's basically recovered, but he's no longer on board with the left-wing progressive agenda, they're trying to kick him out by calling him, mentally deranged.
So Selena Zito is going to be on my show on Monday talking about this because she's in Pennsylvania. I know you know who Selena is. And she said this, the only time as a reporter I saw Fetterman, not himself, not just regarding his health, was when he was recovering and other people were handling his messaging. During that time, I was the most critical of Fetterman's candidacy. However, nearly all that criticism was due to a stunning lack of transparency from his staff. And here's what John Fetterman says today, I think.
Hey, it was a hit piece, a one source hit piece. Announced some anonymous sources, so there's nothing new.
Why? What would you say, Senator, to people that are concerned about you?
No, they're not. They're actually not concerned. It's a hit piece.
Yeah, they're not concerned. It's a hit piece. The audio a little tough to hear there, but that's what I was wondering because I'm reading this from a farm. Like, oh, we got people that work with John Fetterman. They're saying he's not stable. It does seem like a hit piece.
Oh, it absolutely is a hit piece, which, again, what it shows you is what they tell you, what they say is entirely based upon, what they want you to think and what their ideological commitments are. I will, to this day, stand by my judgment that in 2022, Fetterman should not have been elected. Because it looked very much at the time that his recovery was very much in question.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I was right there as well.
Yeah, and it really wasn't about his ideology or anything else, although I would have voted against them. It really was, well, look, this guy is not healthy. Well, he's mostly recovered. And the left was 100% behind him then, and they're 100% against him now, not based upon his health, which is what they claim, but based upon whether he's ideologically reliable. And, basically you just have to assume that anything you're told by people within what I call the Pravda media and the establishment is based upon what they want you to believe, and that is only coincidentally connected to the truth.
Yeah, go. And here, let's offer another example. One more story, because if I was here earlier this week, I would have hammered this one. And I had Scott Jennings on yesterday, and he did highlight it. But I think this is one of the bigger stories of the week. And I also think it hasn't been covered hardly at all. You have this Gaza aid pier that we spent $230 million on, 20 days in use. Now we find out it didn't really do anything, and 60-plus U.S. soldiers were hurt in the process of all this. I mean, talk about a boondoggle, but do you see the AP headline on that anywhere?
Well, and, well, of course not. First of all, just, again, it didn't fit the narrative. And second of all, their excuse is, well, nobody told us this, as if the goal of the mainstream media is simply to print press releases from the government.
Right.
They tell us, well, we need to have, a free press because we're the people who hold the government accountable. It's like they do exactly the opposite. They just print whatever they're told from the Democratic Party.
Yeah, there's no skepticism. I mean, I went to journalism school. That was part of being a journalist and a reporter, being skeptical. Don't believe all this stuff, but the opposite is happening in the American media. David Strom, it's always great to have you on. I hope all is well up there in Minnesota. I actually was on the trip with some folks from your state, and one of them is going to join me next because we had a lovely, lovely listener trip to Athens and beyond all the Greek islands. Have you been, David Strom?
I have not, and I really resent that you did not invite me and pay for my trip.
Well, we're going to consider that next year. You're going to come on board. I think we might go to Creation. But Strom, thank you very much, Dave. We'll talk soon.
Sounds great.
We'll see you. Yeah, Mike Kenny's going to come up. We took a group of listeners, and I thought it'd be nice to kind of decompress with Mike and maybe a little hint about an upcoming trip. We'll see.
Get more at 971talk.com.